There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
You know what? First, obviously a lot of people sent me the Bagel Boss guy
story. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Again and again, because I'm supposed to be a representative of his class. Like, we are all representatives, I guess, of the same species, except he's not even 5 foot.
Sure. No, you
so
tower
he's really
over this
small.
Guy. And of course,
oh yeah, I would fucking wipe the fucking floor with him if I had to.
You're referencing the guy in the bagel store who was freaking out because girls don't like to date him because he's under 5 foot out of nowhere.
You tell me, oh, you guys do the same little smirk. You do all the same little smirk and you're laughing at me and you put it in your Tinder accounts saying 6 foot or don't talk to me. And it's like, what am I going to do?
This little guy, this little tornado, right? And so the first tall guy gets into his face. He's like, what are you going to fucking do about it? You want to take it outside? Take it outside. That guy doesn't do it. And then finally one big dude grabs him by the side of the fucking head and just mushes him.
Right.
Right. Mushes him hard, fucking sticks his face into the ground, which is the... He's like, I'm cool. As his face is pressed into the linoleum of the Bagel Boss store. But this is what I'm going to say as a short man. Number one.
Okay.
Women are beautiful creatures and need to be protected and need to be heralded.
What does that have anything to do with anything?
I think it's... Understand that your height is not about your choice. Guess what?
Okay.
It's about your attitude and it's your strength. And it's about putting forward and it's being confident in yourself.
I don't
and
think that
for
this...
Fact,
but he was not defending
small,
women.
I am starting with defending women because that's where he was attacking. Because he was saying women don't like short men.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you what, if you got a tiny penis, you learn how to fucking eat Ed Bush. And that's what you do, and that's what you. That's how you fix it. Boom, boom, done and done. But the next thing you got to do is, unfortunately, as a short man, if you do decide to physically engage, and this to me is policy,
uh-huh,
you have to go to jail.
Well, you got to go crazy, right?
I think that he went down like a bitch. And I think that if he was truly going to be a warrior of the short people, he would have had to have been carried out in anklets and bracelets by the police. And like those, like what they do with the dogs, like with the long sticks with the lassos at the end of
it. He's going crazy. He's rabid.
That is the only way. You spin, move, flipping chairs, punch yourself in the face. You go for eyes. You go for nuts. You need to be an unstoppable force then.
Just like Nia Jax from the WWE. All right, everyone, welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben Kissel with Henry Zebrowski. I know that you have found yourself a new idol with the bagel guy.
No.
Oh, he's not your idol.
Not. No.
You hate
no, he
this
went
man.
Down.
He went
down. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Right.
Hey,
I forgot.
Yeah.
I already forgot.
He disrespected women. Which I absolutely fucking abhor, and he fucking was defeated immediately.
He got defeated, but now is he defeated because he has been doing the local news rounds? The man has a Twitter now. He is like the new. He is like he's the Ken Bone of people who are screaming in bagel restaurants.
Yeah, he's a sad little like jerk off. He's trying to flip whatever it is. I get. Trying to get whatever buzz you have and like trying to flip it up into money. I understand that there's a lot of people then show up. All these sharks show up and say, we got to get you merch. You got to make you a personality. But all he is becoming is a deeper and deeper fodder for people's entertainment. He is becoming the little jester boy that he thought everybody was already doing to him. Because you sent me that 10-minute diatribe that he went on, which was very emotional.
He is sad,
he is racist, he's got fucking problems, dude.
He really does.
But then another part of me feels, all of us ganging up and fucking making fun of his tiny little ass, all that does is show, it's like what cult leaders do, where they create their own persecution, and then all of a sudden the persecution is real, then he feels validated. Where, honestly, he needs a fucking hug, and he needs to be put away. He needs to go upstate where he can run with dogs and like that kind of work. He needs to go to the Amish.
Maybe that would be great. He needs to get out of the city because obviously it's stressing him out. And I don't know what's going on. Henry and I were talking, doing our pre-production for the show. I guess technically that is what we do.
Yes.
Summertime, man. The summertime brings out Everyone's crazy.
There it's is just, some fucking...
Something's in the air.
Yes, it is batshit out there.
It
I don't
really
know what
is.
The hell is happening. All right, one story that I want to lead with was, I mean, it's now been kind of heavily covered, and it was sent to me multiple ways, and this is the death of a what is being called an e-girl, Bianca Devins.
Oh, she's this story sort of is so sad, yeah.
She's listed as an Instagram quote-unquote influencer by all of these, like, big capital letter... All these big capital letter M media companies that have no clue how the internet works.
None.
She had about 115,000 followers. She was found dead on the early Sunday morning, July 14th. And it appears that she had her throat slit by a man named
Brandon Clark. So it's this fellow, Brandon Clark, who was hunting this woman down, stalking this woman. And I just want to clarify, and Henry wants this clarification out there as well. Any media outlet that calls this man her boyfriend needs to apologize immediately. Go away.
They need to go away.
You haven't done your due diligence. You haven't done the smallest amount of research. This man was a horrible person. At no point was he dating Miss Devins. And I say that because people just want to be like, oh, it must have been a relationship spat. No, it was not.
They don't know how to wrap their brains around what is now becoming a more and more complicated world of internet relationships. And what does it mean that if you are not just a human, but you are also a performer slash entertainer slash, I guess the term would be personality on the internet.
Right.
And then the people that you either consider fans or friends or family or the both. And how all of these lines are getting crossed all the time.
Right.
The reason why we're talking about the story is because Bianca Devins was murdered and then pictures of her dead corpse were put up on Instagram by Brandon Clark. It was put up on his account and Insta stories, including several pictures of him driving around. I believe it said on my way to hell. I thought it said
yes.
Here comes hell.
Here
it's redemption,
hell.
Right? And then he changed his Instagram bio to 10/06/1997 to 7/14/19 because then he attempted suicide and was captured by the police.
Right, and he wasn't just captured by the police, and you know. This man, so after he just cuts this poor girl's throat, so sad, he calls the police while he is, quote unquote, going to commit suicide in an attempt to obviously have the police stop him from committing suicide. And we just want to talk a little bit about, from the outside, you're like, what the flying fuck? Like, what is going on within these communities? There's a thing called orbiting, which is something that he was getting upset with, that more people were starting to orbit Miss Devins' Instagram account, which basically just means interact with her online. And so he said when posting a picture of her corpse, basically this was telling everyone who was orbiting her that, hey, you know what? No more. You're not going to be orbiting her anymore because I have just murdered her.
The actual quote is, sorry, fuckers, you're going to have to find someone else to orbit.
Ugh.
Now, the way that the night broke down is that we're not really entirely sure. We believe that they were talking over Discord. They knew each other in real life. Brandon Clark had become sort of a friend, seemed to be a family friend. That is one, it seems to be the most... a legit theory.
And small, and at best, small F friend. Like maybe someone who just started to kind of hang around. You're like, okay.
An acquaintance. Because then what I did was that I went to 4chan. The DazedDigital.com has a really good breakdown of the story. And then I went to 4chan and started looking up itself. I ended up seeing the pictures, which were horrible. But then I saw a series of texts, which were... He was hounding her, apparently after hanging out a couple of times playing video games. They had met in about May of 2019.
Okay.
They played video games. He thought that he was a lot closer to her than she was to him.
Right.
So they started the sense of this relationship based upon bitterness for him towards her.
Mm.
But in some way, shape, or form, Bianca somehow got Brandon Clark to pick her up and drive her to a concert with another man. That man, it seems to be, and Devins were actually either starting to date or flirt. And somewhere in that time period, after the concert, he murdered her and then put up all these videos. Now, that is really as far as we know. But in terms of like what happened. But I think this story is a deeper level
right
about the... the lack of understanding that the some of our older generations, including our generation as well,
of course,
and people within the media and how they report upon stories like this.
Absolutely.
Where, especially with these tenuous relationships that are built up online, that are built in a sort of a fantasy world, and it reminds me of what we just watched. I just watched the documentaries on Michelle Carter,
right.
I Love You, Now Die. Michelle Carter, if you don't know, essentially they got her, they convicted her, man. Manslaughter for texting, where she
well that was the one where she texted her boyfriend who was in the
Conrad
car,
Roy the third
back in the car, and we've covered that. Yeah,
yes, we've covered that. But now this new documentary has come out to show sort of more like a kinder, gentler view upon Michelle Carter. And one of the big things that they say in the documentary is this whole thing called involuntary intoxication, where they were on Prozac too early, and they blame it all, like this one doctor, this Dr. Peter Bregan, blames it all on Prozac given to her as a preteen. And then he says that that allowed her to put together these sort of, even though it was a gigantic series of plans she put in place to have Conrad Roy commit suicide to help bump her relationships with a bunch of girls who fucking ghosted her.
Right.
Essentially a thing to like launch her into high school with more emotional clout.
And of course, you know, the overprescription of children is a real thing. I don't
sure.
give that much credence. So obviously, yeah, the Michelle Carter thing, we're going to talk. I haven't seen that doc yet, but as soon as I do, Henry and I will have a longer conversation about that for sure.
But a part of this is this concept of she had like it's about the reporting of the way the big media looks at the internet. They still
right.
view it as this like place for children, and that it's all these kind of pedantic little relationships running around. But we could see how like these are the types of things where it's like they don't even know. We're hearing conflicting accounts on how many fucking followers that she had.
Yeah, Bianca Devens. Yeah,
yeah, where we're saying like, you know, one source is saying 2,500, it shot up to 80,000 on Discord. Another people are saying, like, I saw on Instagram this morning and I looked her up, that it said 115,000. But
right.
the way they're reporting it is, again, saying these like facts where none of them know.
Well, and of
none
course,
of them know.
What's so hard to tell when it comes to Instagram, and if you want to like figure out what her clout was, it is very possible she started out with just 2,500, which I would say does not make her an influencer. So that's already the media reporting getting that totally wrong. And it is possible.
Did you see how that they finally put it up, like what they've now said?
I forgot.
It was a researcher said 30,000 followers on any platform makes you a celebrity.
I do not.
That is it.
Is that weird? I don't know if that's true.
That's what they say.
Because we all have more than that, and we're not celebrities. So
I pay for shit all the time.
Yes, no one has ever taken a picture of me when I'm walking out of a Walgreens being like, Ben Kissel, he's just like us. He buys beer by the 18 packs.
What are you talking about? Our publicist got us into the Whittier Collective.
Oh, the best money we've ever spent. We're in the Whittier Daily News. So if you're in Whittier,
it's California.
California. Make sure to check us out in the Whittier Daily News. Thank you, publicist. You've nailed it once again. But yes, but with Bianca Devens' account, and this is a fun, not a fun conversation, an interesting conversation. So let's just say she started out, let's just say 2,500. And now the last time you checked, Henry, it was 115,000.
Yes.
Many of those, without a doubt, regardless if it's as many as that, but many of those came post-mortem. And what does that say? Like, what if you are on Instagram, you're like, this woman was just murdered by a freaking maniac. Why would you follow her now? Like, what are the new posts that are going and not to be pedantic about this, but like, literally, why would you follow her now?
In another turn of events that shows that pop culture as subconsciously is affecting society, is that this is fucking anime to a T. This is an anime fucking movie where she dies and then they all latch on as martyrs to it. Which a part of it, I think it's very interesting because it is very public, flagrant mourning of this person that you don't know, right? Which is very common in the world of celebrities, right? And quote unquote, like, we're going to say real famous people, right? Like that concept, like movie stars, rock and roll people, like hip hop guys.
Right.
But something like her shows that in these little microcosms in this small world within the infinite universe that is the internet can amass the same type of following. She had a micro, almost cult I'd say that around here. That's what the orbiters really are.
Right.
They are this concept of, you know, essentially in a sub relationship to her, where they say, well, whatever you want, we'll do. We worship you, comment nice on all our pictures, say thank you,
but
do all
I don't
kind
know,
of shit.
But they weren't, where, I don't think that she was court. I mean, I never really looked at her Instagram, but it doesn't seem like as if she was courting nonstop, attention and things like. She was just being a 17-year-old girl.
But you're a 17-year-old girl who is also an Instagram influencer that wants to do these things. So that is kind of, that you do have a lot of audience interaction. Well, we call it audience interaction, right? That's kind of, I mean, she was basically working it as much as she could, but in a professional way. And that's where Brandon Clark said that he was different. And then if you read his texts, which I end up finding his texts, these long breakdowns, because that's the other thing, too, because they want to out the other big headline, right, that the internet loves is the incel kills model.
Right.
Model, right. Where they're saying that he was an incel, which is a thing where you look at it and being like, I wouldn't even go far. I'm actually now getting past the point where I hate the term fucking incel. I think even that term is giving them too much credit. It's labeling them as something as that. Then once you create the
they're
label,
a group, yeah,
they can fucking adhere to the label, and then it's almost, it becomes inverse pride.
Right.
For
absolutely.
The fucking bullshit. So now he can proudly say I'm an incel because, yeah, fuck all these bitches. And then what you're actually saying is that he's just a mouth breathing loser.
And
that did the thing that we always talk about, where he made, instead of changing his life or putting himself out there, he committed total destruction.
Absolutely.
And now he, one side, you have Bianca on one side, who's becoming a martyr for literally for Instagram and internet culture. And then Brandon Clark, that if he had died, and if he didn't do it in the fucking dumb shittest way, where he fucking cut his throat and then wrote ashes to ashes in a picture.
Called
right,
the police during, yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of shit, where it's like, then he becomes a martyr for the incel movement.
Right, and you know, just to clarify, again, the fact that this girl was on Instagram and doing what every or millions upon millions of young people are doing, and because this is where the mainstream media really got it wrong as well, where people can be like, well, she was posting pictures on Instagram. What did she expect to happen? It's the 2.0 of like, why was her shirt, was her skirt so short? Why was she out so late? It's 2.0, that kind of Neanderthalic thinking. So
they don't understand. They don't understand that it is actually becoming, and this is also a struggle, maybe even for our generation too, is that that shit is now, it is legit.
It's normal.
Like, it is now normal.
Yeah.
It is baked into a teenager's experience. And there are people that do, you know, like her, on here, it's like if you look at her official account, now it's up to 123,000.
Right.
This shit is like, it was faux real for them.
Absolutely.
Like, the same thing with Michelle Carter and Conrad Roy. The holographic, almost psychic nature of the internet relationship is interesting because it all happens in fantasy.
Right.
It all happens outside of your physical reality. It's happening in your hands and in your mind, and you create this other world fantasy, kind of like Second Life, where you're living in. And then when you are young, you don't know the differences between the fantasy and the reality.
Absolutely.
And then it's so much easier to spin into these types of dangerous situations when you're not in front of the fucking person.
Absolutely. And that's why oftentimes you'll see people recording horrendous acts or horrendous accidents. For example, here in the subways, it happens on a regular basis. Someone will slip onto the tracks as opposed to helping. Someone will take out their camera and start filming. I think that is because mentally their body is just like, I don't want to be here. I have to have something that disconnects me from this reality. This phone does exactly that. So yeah, this story. And again, because let's just say again, she only had 2,500 Instagram followers, but in the minds of these children, that is the world. And it's huge.
It's
hard to remember.
Is huge.
It is huge. And it's hard to
it's
remember.
It's 2,500 people.
Yes.
When you come from let's say you live in Indiana, you're doing stuff, you come from a school of 600 people.
Sure.
Right? You come from this, like that's where I was in Florida, and my high school had 600 people in Florida.
Right.
So you got four, you're the most popular person in four of your high schools.
Absolutely.
To one cell within that world.
And just remember, you know, because obviously we're getting up there in age. July 21st, I'll be 38 years old.
Yeah.
But you just remember how serious high school was for a second. Just remember how it was like, this is your world. This is everything. Now you blow that out, and make it a global, so you have the same mind, and now it's a global world that you're living in, as opposed to just the halls of your high school. The kids today, I do understand, not excusing anything whatsoever. This Brandon Clark guy, also he was 21 years old. He's not even
a fucking shithead.
But you know, kids today are dealing with a lot of they're like, the exposure to the world at such a young age is extremely dangerous, and I don't even understand how a lot of these children are being able to navigate it, because it's hard growing up and your brain is still forming, and then all of a sudden you're being judged by the globe.
It is very difficult there for kids. But you know what? I honestly think that this next generation is smarter than us.
I agree.
I think that big part of it is that they are living at an accelerated pace. But I think they're the ones that will actually accurately take us to the future if they're allowed to live.
Yes, I agree.
If they can make it. I think that they are now going to be a part of this. This is now reality. I think that's a part of it, too, especially with big media, especially what we deal with all the time. As people that make their living off the internet, even the echelons of media and the echelons of show business, the internet is still viewed as like small beans,
right?
Because they don't want to acknowledge how, like, no, dude, you guys all want to say that this is some Al Gore fad still. Like, you still want to believe that it's just Al Gore talking about tubes and that the only real thing is the New York Times. And it's like, no, motherfucker. It's everywhere else.
It is.
It's also, and so these types of things are real. And I think a part of it is that maybe it would help for parents to understand, I don't know, to have more candid conversations with their kids about these online relationships.
Well, and my understanding is the parents that we speak to, it does seem like they are.
Yes.
Thank God, because, yeah.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know. I'm sure.
I'm not giving Wendy a phone.
Don't give Wendy a phone. I'm not giving Puffin a phone.
Yeah, I've seen her scratching at the phone, and I know she wants it, and I know she wants to be an Instagram girl, but I'm telling her she doesn't understand the baggage that's coming from, and she just goes, arr, arr, arr. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, Wendy, no. No.
Yeah.
We'll see you on your birthday.
You think
okay,
it's...
but no.
Oh, really? Well, we'll see you on her birthday.
Okay. Well, I might get her a phone with no internet on it, so she can just paw at it.
All right. So we'll continue to follow that story. And of course, Bianca Devins, RIP, absolutely horrible. Can't even imagine what her family's going through right now. Be careful online. Also, just a little PSA, the people that you meet online oftentimes are not what they appear to be, but I think
you got
to
meet them.
You stick that meeting.
You literally do the thing where you're saying, like, no, we're not going to talk anymore unless we meet. And you meet with people.
You bring
other friends. You meet in a public space and you do the thing because Amber Nelson was talking about this a little bit, and I think it's actually true. You got to know what somebody smells like.
Oh, very good point. Amber Nelson, of course. Listen to her on The Brighter Side. All right. Well, we will continue to follow that case. Just a quick update on one of the most disgusting stories that we have ever covered. This is involving a woman, Cindy Hendy. Now, how do you know that name? Well, she is the disgusting girlfriend of David Parker Ray.
Back in the day, man.
So Elephant Butte, this is actually a public service announcement or public warning. Elephant Butte, New Mexico. Cindy Hendy, of course, for those that don't know, the toy box killer, absolutely horrible, kept women tied up, raped them, murdered them. He used to play audio tapes. As a matter of fact, Jigsaw from Saw is sort of predicated or based on what that case was about. So it's totally disgusting. But she has now just been released from prison. She has been paroled, and people in the community, according to this article, such as Sheila Walker, she says, unbelievable, it's just crazy. According to Larry Fisher, he says, we were shocked. And of course, this woman was not just his girlfriend. She was an active participant. She was complicit. She helped kidnap these girls. She did everything that he did. So anyway, she is out on the streets. Cindy Hendy, Elephant Butte, New Mexico. Be careful. If you see her, go the other way.
Man, she got. Do we have pictures of her? We need to put them out.
Yes, there are pictures of her.
We know why did she get released?
So this is according to Hendy. She was asked by a reporter. She was asked by a reporter, "Were you involved in any way?" And this is what she had to say. She said, "No." kind of. No, kind of. What are you talking about? She later pleaded guilty to charges of kidnapping and criminal sexual penetration. So how the hell did she get out? She's only 59 years old. She's scheduled to be released from prison July 15th of this year, 2019, about 20 years into her 36-year sentence. So according to Darren White, he's the former Department of Public Safety Secretary, he says, I wish she would spend the rest of her life in prison, but she is not going to, because Hendy's plea deal came 3 months before a new law required violent criminal offenders. This was the plea deal that she had in 2002. It came 3 months before a new law required violent criminals to serve at least 85% of their sentence. That's why, with good time, she only had to serve about half of her sentence. So this is disgusting. She should stay behind bars. And you know me, I'm like, if you were there for a drug crime, get out. I totally believe in rehabilitation. But the toy box killer, it's such a gross story. It's so sad and so disgusting. This woman just doesn't need to be on the street. She's only 59. She has a potential of living 40 more years.
It's very interesting how, like, Mark David Chapman can't get out of jail. Right.
Right.
And he killed one guy. I mean, I know it was a big deal.
It was a big
obviously.
Guy. Obviously. It was a big guy.
It was a big deal. But I mean, in terms of like danger to society, I would grant that Mark David Chapman is no longer a danger to society.
Very possible.
I think that if you put him in a fucking halfway home and you Thorazine him up and he sat in a fucking place or you ship him back to Hawaii.
Right.
This is obviously, as Henry Zebrowski, expert on human behavior. I believe that he probably have what? I'm going to straight up put 30% chance of getting back to criminal behavior.
No, I don't think that he would. I think he would.
Unless
just
he finds the sauce again. If he finds the sauce again, then he might.
Well,
if he
yes.
goes off his meds.
No,
he goes
need.
Off his meds and he hits the sauce, he might. But this chick
I don't
needs
know.
To be in fucking jail.
It's disgusting what they did. That whole case is disgusting. I'm sure most of our listeners are at the very least familiar. There's a lot of people still in prison again that are there for low-level drug offenses.
Marijuana!
And
they're still in there for fucking weed!
I'm not sure if Cindy Hendy needs to be getting out. I would say not, because public safety matters, and that is why I believe the public is safer when she is in prison. That's all
it's
I'll say about that.
It's also, we talk a fucking big game about punishing our criminals and doing all this shit, and then we let these people out, like, of all of the people in the world we're going to let out,
right.
somebody like this with a fucking series of some of the most brutal sexual crimes in the United States history.
God.
Well, you know. Well, hey, I guess good for her. I hope to see her on The View.
Oh, my God. She will be on The View. Her and Joy Behar are going to be talking about. She's going to wear her RGB shirt. Cindy Hendy's going to wear her RGB shirt.
I can't wait. Oh, my God.
It's all going to work out
Resistance.
Great.
This
Absolutely.
Is a part of the hashtag resistance, so I'm glad that she made it.
And speaking of people who should never be on the streets again because they are a danger to society, just a quick update on Jeffrey Epstein. Number one, absolutely, these were young girls that he sexually abused, raped, and the way that the media and the way that his defense team is trying to call them prostitutes is disgusting. They were hunted. And for more on that, listen to Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. We do a deeper dive. But recently we have also found out that Jeffrey Epstein is looking to get bail, and I don't
He's gone.
If he gets bail, he will be gone, because he said, don't worry about it, Judge. I'm going to hire my own armed guards to make sure I stay in my $77 million mansion. He said he's going to ground his airplane, not use his helicopter, which I believe still means he has like 8 speedboats and a bat cave somewhere.
So, honestly, he's gone. He's going to be gone.
God.
The second that he has bail. And they're going to give it to him. And he's going to be gone.
Maybe.
I don't think he's going to see a day of jail time. I think that he is so well connected. I think we're really looking at the fucking Illuminati here. I think we're really looking at it. I think that this is the story. And he either fucked up somebody's money, and that's the reason why they flipped him, or this is straight up the FBI mad at Trump.
It could be anything.
I wonder if it's like that shit where they are, all of this is personal grievances, but he is fucking going nowhere. He is not going to see a day in jail. I can't imagine it. I hope that he doesn't.
I hope the trial is fair. We shall see. But that's the latest news, and I'll cover that politically on Abling and Stop At. I don't think he deserves bail because seems a bit of a flight risk to me.
We already let him out.
Yes, exactly.
We already let him out and let him do it again.
Henry, this time he did say he wasn't going to flee. Oh, he did say that. He's like, I'm not going to. And so it's like, can we take him at his word? I mean, I think we have to. You know, he's a billionaire, right?
Why can't I just let people in? I need to let Epstein in. Uh-huh. I told him I wasn't available for those parties, how good I can swish. And yeah, maybe it cost me a couple of sitcoms, but I tell you what, I'm ready to do it again.
You would have been great, buddy.
Man, how good I would have been at my very reluctant hand jobs.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? That's how many an actor got a career that way, buddy. But you know what? You're a podcast star now. All right.
Live from your grave. Live from your grave.
Now, according to Gizmodo, and seems to be because of a book that came out in May, Pentagon ordered to tell Congress if it weaponized ticks and released them into the public.
Hold on a second. Is this like, are we reading like the Gotham Daily News? What is going on here?
We've talked about this vaguely over the years, right? But this is another fucking conspiracy theory that is coming true, which is some members of the United States House are concerned the Pentagon may have unleashed disease-infected ticks that caused the spread of Lyme disease.
What?
They think roll call reports that on July 11th, the House stealthily decided via voice vote, which I don't understand any of how the fucking little Civ 5 rules that our U.S. government has.
They say, yay! Nay.
Yay. Nay.
Yes.
Vote to support an amendment to the 2020 Defense Authorization Bill that would require the Department of Justice to look into weaponized ticks. According to the Congress-focused newspaper, New Jersey Republican Rep. Christopher Smith wrote the amendment, which demands the Inspector General shall conduct a review of whether the Department of Defense experimented with ticks and other insects regarding use as a biological weapon between the years of 1950 and 1975.
There's a lot of that is absolute, but like, okay, just that is serious. Great accent, but that is serious. Just hear that again. They want to know if the Department of Defense used ticks as a biological weapon for 25 years. That is like the craziest thing I have ever heard in my entire life, and this is actually happening now in the United States Congress.
Yes, it is. A lot of this is coming to light because of a book that was called Bitten, The Secret History of Lyme Disease and Biological Weapons.
Wow.
The author is Chris Newby. So she worked really hard. I watched an interview with her where she worked very hard to say that the evidence was as locked in as humanly possible. But a review by Outside Magazine says the book rests on shaky ground. It presents a lot of evidence, but no smoking gun proving connection between government biowarfare research and the Lyme disease outbreak. Good cover.
Well,
great,
it's
work.
Interesting.
No, so. It didn't. That's all they're saying. It's literally going like, no.
No.
Which I understand why you're saying that. You're being paid to say that. But I will say it seems very interesting, and it's also exactly what they do. Literally have been used. They were interested in biological weapons for so long, you really don't think they didn't try a couple of things.
Hey, man, I think that they certainly have the cash to do it. So the amendment reportedly insists the Inspector General must present Congress with information on the scope of the research, including, quote, whether any ticks or insects used in such experiments were released outside of any laboratory by accident or experiment design. So it is possible, I suppose, that a janitor is just cleaning up, being like, huh, what's this jar of ticks? I better throw this outside in the back, you know, because
I must free my fellow prisoners. Freedom for you ticks, freedom. I've seen a Pixar film. Oh, have you seen Ants?
I love
All
Ants.
All they needed was a hero.
They did, and those wasps were mean, or whatever.
They were mean.
They were mean.
Woody, Was that the one with Woody Allen?
No, I'm not sure. Was Woody Allen in Ants?
He was in one of them, and Seinfeld was in the B movie.
I remember
that. I think Woody Allen was in Ants.
Huh. Okay. Well, there you go. Speaking of weaponized bugs. So according
you're
to
lucky Smith, because if it really was, but I'll tell you what, if Woody Allen had written it, it would have been called Nieces.
And technically, we're professionals at this, folks. Wow. Really powerful humor. Really powerful. But honestly, that's you're taking down, you're aiming high.
Punching up,
and you're taking them down. So Smith told Roll Call, we need answers, and we need them now. So we are going to continue to follow this story because this is the first I've ever heard of it. And again, the name of the book is Bitten, written by Chris Newby. And perhaps we could try to reach out to him, Henry, for our Patreon interview
series. It's a lady.
Oh, perhaps we could try to reach out to her for our Patreon interview series because that is... Just when you think you heard it all, then all of a sudden the government's been using ticks to spread Lyme's disease. Horrible.
It's just such a scattershot way of doing it, though.
It really is insane. It totally...
You know, like, it's just such a, like, that's thrown out. Like, ticks are small.
Yes.
You know, they're real small.
Ugh.
And Lyme disease just kind of sucks, right?
Yeah, I think it makes you real tired. It sucks. I think the official diagnosis, and I'm not even being, I think it just sucks. My buddy
Let
had it.
Let me see what this is.
Just
I want
sucks.
To see what.
You're tired. You're moody. You're in pain. It sucks.
They say that early stage Lyme disease can be. Okay, you can get it with treatment. You can fix it, sort of, or at least you can deal with it.
Right.
Early symptoms, later symptoms, days to month, headaches, neck stiffness, additional rashes, facial palsy. Oh, God.
Overall.
Changes in mood or sleep habits. Do I have this? Inflammation of the brain and spinal cord.
It sucks.
That's not good.
Yeah. Again, the official diagnosis is it sucks. That is the worst. All right. Well, so we're going to keep on following that story. Hopefully talk to the author because that is pretty crazy stuff.
This is crazy stuff. And also, I want to say to the people that will be eventually attempting to storm Area 51, I saw some footage of what they do to people that try to break those. And I was speaking with John Tenney, who is an occult researcher and expert. And he went himself and was scooped up in the 90s. He went to Area 51. He was scooped up. He was deloused. They stripped him. They strip searched him. They tore apart his entire car. They kept him for an entire day.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And then they released him, saying, like, you're lucky we didn't fucking really do what we need to do.
Oh,
so
be careful.
I saw use of the sound cannons. You don't want to deal with the sound cannons, guys.
No.
I mean, I might just go for observational purposes.
Like, this is like your Hunter S. Thompson. This is your, like, you're
like
going
to
wear a little cap with a little green visor and just document.
I don't
document.
Think I can get away with not. I don't think, I think I have to go. I think I'm duty bound.
Hey, buddy, it's a beautiful place. I love Nevada. I love Las Vegas. I love, you got to get
you
out
like
there.
Las Vegas.
I know. I love, but that's in Nevada, so
that's
there you go, or Nevada,
between,
however you want to say it.
It's a very large difference between, like, I love turquoise, and I love the plight of the Native American, to I love Vegas! Like, it's very
and, of course, I don't love the plight of the Native American. We
I
need
don't.
To respect our Native Americans even more. We don't talk about them enough in this country, and that's the problem with Hollyweird. They had a run because of Marlon Brando. We had a run in Hollywood where they're like,
yes.
This is today's just, thing. And then all of a sudden.
It's just Italians. It's Italians and Greek guys all playing Native Americans.
Yes.
No, they obviously need higher visibility, which is a part
they
of the
do.
Reason why they are dying out is because we have pushed them into a corner so we can forget about them.
And
which is unfortunate because I don't agree with it.
We've ruined
their
that
lives. Brave.
Absolutely. It is brave and you're damn right about that. All right. Well, let's see. I guess I think it's time for Hero of the Week. We have so many great stories, but.
We have a lot of great stories. We have this one story, which is just, I mean, it is as simple as from the BBC News. A man says she is scared to go out after enduring a terrifying encounter with a man wearing a gimp suit in a dark village lane. They took this picture of this dude in a full on fucking gimp suit.
It is scary.
And advanced towards her, grunting and breathing heavily. I think it's got to do with the suit.
Yeah.
But he was walking after. It is difficult. She said the victim in her 20s said the experience had hugely affected her. I understand. It's very, very scary. It's very, very scary.
It is.
She was like, I would never forgive myself if this happened to someone else and I hadn't said anything. Describing the events that happened on her evening walk, she said she had her camera app open after spotting something on the side of the street. This is scary. It's in full fucking.
It is scary.
It's him in blur coming towards her. It's like he kept coming towards me and he was touching his groin, grunting and breathing heavy. As I tried to take a step back, he was right in front of my face and he put his leg forward. I was just trying to assess the situation in my head quickly. Everything was running through my head. I thought, this is it. I'm going to get attacked. I was looking, thinking, oh my God. The woman who did not wish to be named remembers pushing and screaming at the man, and then she ran away from him.
Right.
So I will say, she was in her. It looks like he's just trying to, he's getting off of scaring people.
Ugh.
But this does hearken me back to the more innocent days of the internet when the clowns, people in the creepy clown costumes were harassing people, and I miss those days.
I remember creepy clowns. What a nice time that was when the only thing we had to be scared of was creepy clowns. But obviously this man is doing more than just standing there. He is hunting this woman. The cops did try to find him. They used a helicopter and a sniff dog, but they couldn't find the guy. So
Not sniffing for fucking leather.
I guess
not. They have
not.
To find the one kink officer.
That's
right. There has
right.
to be a kink officer. Like somebody on there who's just been like, here's our, I'll show you, boy. And like he's dressed in a gimp suit
mm-hmm.
to teach all the canine units how to recognize men in gimp suits.
Absolutely.
Or at least that's what he's saying as the reason for his OT.
And of course, if you are into that culture, we don't like these people around here who are making you look bad. So you got to be on the front lines and say, you want to do your gimp stuff? That's wonderful. Keep it in a safe, consensual area. Now, you can't go hunting down people on the streets.
You can't,
like
even
guy.
It's even though it's fun. I know it's
I
fun.
I don't think it's fun.
I know that it's fun to scare people. It is very fun to
scare people, yes.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I would do the same thing. I wouldn't be grabbing at my crotch and grunting, but maybe I would. But I would not touch. I would never touch.
Well,
I'd
maybe
be touching.
If you want to do that, then you got to get a job in a haunted house. And then you can scare anyone you want. Well,
and
you
then
know,
you can scare and including your family.
Yes, absolutely. Anyone who comes into the haunted house.
Or in your home.
Or in your if your home is a haunted house. I don't even it's not good to just go save you don't just go home and scare Wendy tonight. She's already
I don't
scared.
Want to scare Wendy. She's already scared. She gets scared by the earthquake and she's still dealing with it. That's
what
how
the hell?
Traumatized.
I was
she's
doing
small.
Kind of fun with Katie recording here earlier today, and you guys had another small earthquake today in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on? We're going to be in that area, by the way. Don't forget, Los Angeles, July 21st. Can't wait. And
San Diego. On Friday.
Get
we're
going to
be there. We're going to be in San Diego. We're also going to be on the green on Adult Swim at Comic-Con on Friday night at 6 p.m. Not Friday. Yes, Friday night, 6 p.m. Saturday, we're at the Balboa Theater in San Diego. Come and get those tickets. But we're going to be around.
Yeah.
You're going to see, and unfortunately, we are the type of silhouette that is easily recognizable when we walk around.
Absolutely.
Because we got a big, we got a medium, we got a small.
That's right. We're like different kinds of milkshakes. That's fine. Well,
what,
honestly.
What flavor milkshake are you?
Me?
Bud Light.
No,
yeah,
that's
you're
not
a Bud
flavor.
Light flavored milkshake.
No, that's not a flavor of a milkshake. I want to be a mix. I want to be the chocolate and the vanilla. That's the best one to do.
Oh, I love mix. Yeah,
yeah, it's very fun. All right.
I like. You know what? I'm leaning more towards vanilla these days.
You know what though? I'm like one of these guys who I love the mint.
Weird.
I like the shamrock.
No, it's not
shake.
Weird. That is technically normal, but I don't like mint.
I love the shamrock shake, and as soon as it comes,
you do.
Out, I do. I love it. It's like the only time I ever get a shake. You know. Now we're an old.
No, no.
Aunt.
No,
quarter,
this is.
But
technically, this is. State fair talk. My favorite thing is going all the way simple now to vanilla soft serve sprinkles.
Wow.
Nuts.
You are old. You're an old man. You don't
come
even dip it in butterscotch anymore.
Come at me, bagel boss.
Wow.
Fucking come at me. I'll fucking kill you. I'll fucking shove it up your asshole.
Wow. All right. Wow. Let's book the match.
But I mean for peace.
For peace.
For everyone else, I mean for peace.
All right, well, speaking of peace, let's do this week's Hero of the Week.
Recordings of number stations. I love listening to them. It is, it can be a
Hero of the Week.
this week's Hero of the Week. Oh, man. I got to love this dude. He's an intoxicated Utah man. He called an Uber to rescue an injured baby bird. He is too drunk to help. So this Uber driver was expecting just an ordinary pickup. The Uber's driver's name is Christy Gunn, but upon arriving to the location, she realized it would not just be a regular drive. According to Gunn, she says, "I got there and there's three or four guys standing out in the yard and they're holding beers. And I'm like, oh no, these guys are going to get in my car and I hope they know they can't bring their beer." She goes on to say, "As it turns out, they hadn't called the Uber for themselves, but for an injured baby lesser goldfinch that they had found struggling on the ground." Gunn explained,
"What are they going to do with the fucking bird?"
No, because so Gunn explained that the man, his name was Tim Crowley, ordered the ride, asked her if she would be willing to take the tiny bird to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, as they had all been drinking and couldn't drive. At first, they thought it was a joke. Crowley told a local Fox affiliate, he says, "At first it was a joke, like, hey, maybe we should just call an Uber." And then he goes on to say, "Then we were like, no, really, why not? We're paying them." So then he just said, it was incredible. So he told Fox 13 that the first Uber they called canceled on them when they learned the passenger would be a bird. But Gunn, said as long as they paid for the ride, she would happily do it. So she says, quote, "Just gave this little guy a ride from sunset. First passenger I've ever had that chirps and doesn't talk." She told the outlet it was his first Uber ride and probably his only Uber ride. "It seems as if the bird is still alive today because of these drunk heroes." So there
is it,
you go.
Is it still alive?
Well,
that's the only way that they're heroes, is if it's still alive.
Well, you know what? Yes,
it is because
there was a follow up on social media by the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center of Northern Utah. Says another first you will not believe. What do you do when you find a sick, injured, or orphaned wild animal? But you've had a few too many. This rescuer called an Uber, and the bird is still alive, and it's very cute, and they have raised $530 for it.
That is incredible.
So there you go, you drunk Utahians. You guys are all the heroes of the week. And so is the Uber driver for saying this ride.
It is nice.
It's that's maybe my favorite story I've ever heard, because honestly, Henry, that's us. It's me, you, Eddie, Marcus,
honestly, you look at it and be like, "We're going to send an Uber for him."
Yeah, why would you say?
Yeah, I mean, pasture. What are you going to do? It's a God-given right for this bird to take a fuck. It's a God-given right. I love this. I love it.
Oh, yeah,
great.
Right.
Good for them. Good for these heroes.
Good
a couple
for them.
Of letters I want to read that are very, very interesting. I have here from C, and this is a letter about a ghost in her home.
Ooh.
She said, "I have a very annoying ghost in my house. It's been going on for 3 years now, and it got so bad that we thought someone was living in our house without letting us know."
What?
Here's a bullet point list of some crap that has happened. Disclaim, she said, "I've been sober for all of this. Heavy jumping sounds coming from the attic. There's nothing in the attic and no way someone can live up there, even though we thought that for a long time. The front door opening, closing without anyone seeing anyone, except for the one time we got in a Ring camera, I'll try to find it, of a woman leaving but setting off sensors. I don't know what these are, but you can feel her touch you while you sleep sometimes. One time I felt her touch my leg while I was sleeping and woke up with a scratch on my leg. She will take my mother's medicine bottles to the backyard and halfway bury them with the cap in the dirt. This has happened over 30 times, and I've padlocked it to where only I have a key, and it still keeps happening.
Oh,
no pictures will hang on one of our walls. Every night the pictures we try to hang on that wall will just fall off. My mother invited her priest over for whatever reason, and he drove by the house and refused to go in because something is not right about it, and quote, the devil's in there."
Maybe
happened in Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, maybe the priest thought it was one of those Chris Hansen to catch a predator setups. So he's like, "Ha, I'm on to you, Chris Hansen. Not today.
Not today.
Not today."
And then she sent me video. She sent me video. Let me take a look at this fucking thing right here. She sent me video, what she says is of the figure. And I'm watching this thing. It's going through, opening the door. Door is closed, right? I'm watching a closed door. It is
okay.
It is a What the fuck is that? They said, oh, wow, that's fucking creepy, dude.
Nice.
Whoa, that is a full on, that is a fucking woman opening the door and closing it.
Very
cool. Whoa, that is scary as shit.
Yeah,
good work, guys.
Absolutely. That
good
is
work,
totally
guys.
Creepy. That is awesome.
Honestly, it does nothing for you because you can't see it.
Absolutely.
So you don't know what I'm saying.
Well, it's totally
creepy. You just
have to take
it for granted that I think it's cool. I want to say, we've been getting so many good UFO videos. Keep sending them.
Absolutely.
I just recently saw one that was fucking, another one that was fucking wackety schmackety from a PS who basically took this from Tinkley Park, Illinois, that was some crazy fucking orbs, dude. I love this shit.
Love
yes.
it. Keep
the
on
best
sending,
job in the fucking world, dude.
Keep on sending those stories. Keep on sending those videos. Side stories, LPOTL @gmail.com. Shoot us those videos you got. We can't wait to watch them. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's Side Stories.
It's been a fun one.
It's been a fun one, a gross one. As always, it's the world of true crime. A lot of nasty things happening out there. Be careful. Be safe. And honestly, protect yourself when it comes to these online predators, these people. Oftentimes, folks are not as they seem. So,
I'll tell you who's not an online predator.
Who's that?
Smoky Hollow Company. This candle company. We're Candle House. Do you notice we like candles?
I love candles. I do as well.
I love candles. He sent me a candle called Unidentified Flying Object in name of the Skinwalker series, a man named Paul Verity from Smoky Hollow Company. And I want to say, it is an absolutely gorgeous smelling candle. Thank you so much. And I also want to say thank you to a special woman named Deborah. Now, since the revelations that I have problems with my downstairs.
Yes, with your butthole,
The flood. I'm going to say the term flood.
Nice.
Of items and creams and panties and all the stuff that I've received both recommendations for and now physically at the office.
Sure, sure.
I just want to say thank you, but she sent me this stuff called buttonhole chamoy cream where you're supposed to put it on here. So how to apply? Take a generous mitten full of buttonhole chamoy cream, rubbing directly onto the chamoy, or as we prefer, directly on the perennial area, which is the taint.
Oh, okay.
AKA what they say here, the buttonhole. Now adjust the saturated chamoy so all parts are positioned correctly, creating a cycling nirvana and maximum comfort for any ride distance.
Great.
It is called buttonhole chamoy. It's Enzo's. He makes it for nice. And I am going to try one of these. Ooh, it is medicated. You see how thick that cream is?
It's very thick cream.
This
yes, indeed.
I am going to try this on my fucking asshole. But what I will say is, please stop sending me Preparation H suppositories.
How much Preparation H suppositories do you have now?
I have received 2 boxes of them.
Okay, well, that's good. You should use them.
I'm going to use them.
Okay,
but
see what you do.
I've gotten enough.
Okay.
And now I think I'm at my peak because I still have to use them, and I have to use them in a way that my wife does not see because we have said time and time again we're trying to keep it romantic.
Okay, buddy. Well, no way that's not going to work out. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. And yes, truly, thanks for all the wonderful gifts. And we can't wait to see everyone. When it comes to gifts, no need to give us any gifts, though, during meet and greets. We love them, but don't feel any pressure to. We are all
no
good.
Pressure.
No pressure.
We love it. We just love meeting you. It means a lot.
That's it. That's the whole point is the little relationship we can have with you. That's what matters the most.
So live every day like you're a freshly medicated buttonhole and your purpose is secure no matter what traveling is going to come your way.
Sure.
I want to love, you got to love the way that woo choo you herbs love your perennial.
Is that the ingredient in there?
The way Melaleuca oil and chamomile oils treat your buttonhole. You gotta love it. You gotta love yourself like those chemicals love your butthole. And laugh. Laugh like you got a fun diaper on and everybody knows, but you pretend that they don't, or you don't care because you're just so secure that right. you can fucking not fight your neighbors today about the fact that you're obviously wearing some form of athletic diaper.
Right. The buttonhole is a disgusting term. That's what I'm going to say on that. But you know what? Good, Henry. Take care of yourself.
I haven't used it yet, so we'll see what it's going to do. It, okay. it doesn't. I am concerned it's just going to stain my underwear and pants.
Well, we shall see, and if it does, there'll be notable jokes about it.
There so will be.
That'll
won't
be
there?
That'll be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? All right, everyone, have a wonderful time. We can't wait to see you very soon. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Help me.
Be careful. Take care of yourselves.
Take care of yourself and take care of others if you can.
If you can.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.